I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want us to see the New Testament summary of the passage of God's Word that is recorded in the early chapters in the book of Genesis concerning Noah and the flood. I want you to just read one verse and follow us in one verse here and keep your Bibles open, because we want to study this verse. And we want to know what the Spirit of God would say to you and me concerning it, concerning that well-known and well-loved story of Noah. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 these words, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I want us to look at this passage of God's Word, or this verse of God's Word, and I trust the Spirit of God will help us just to see some things that are found here. And may the Spirit of God write it upon our hearts. Little is said about the parentage of Noah. But what I do know is this, that Noah was born of a God-fearing, godly father, Lamech. He was the grandson of Methuselah. He was also the great-grandson of the man who walked with God, whose name was Enoch. There was a reason why he was called Noah. The Bible tells us, if you turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 5, in verse 28, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his son," or he called his name Noah, "saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And the word Noah means rest or comfort. And so we find that Lamech was looking for comfort, because Lamech believed that his toil and the condition of the ground was attributed to the Lord's curse because of man's sin. The days in which Noah lived were days of great sin. In chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, it says in verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man." And then we read these words, "And it grieved God at his heart." And when God looked at humanity and God looked at man, the days in which Noah lived were days that were sinful, and it grieved, as God looked upon the great wickedness of man upon the earth, it grieved God to his very heart. You know, there's a great contrast here. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that when God saw everything that he had made, verse 31, Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What a contrast. And then the next time that you read, and it's recorded in the Word of God, God saw. It says in verse 5 of chapter 6 of Genesis, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." We're told that God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. And yet in the midst of all of this tragedy, in the midst of all of the sin, in the midst of all of this iniquity, the Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That in the midst of all the sin, friend, there's the grace of God manifest, even in the very life of Noah and that of his family. You see, grace is the very source of all blessing. And isn't it wonderful? That's the first mention of grace in the Scripture. And where do you see the grace of God evident, friend? In the midst of all the depravity, in the midst of all the iniquity, you see God stepping in grace. Isn't God a great God? When sin was at its climax, there we see the grace of God exercised, and we see the grace of God displayed. And I want to show you how it happened and how it was manifest. And that's where we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 7. And that's what we want to expound as God helps us tonight. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want first of all to notice Noah and his faith. And you see here it says, by faith Noah. Now notice first of all the sureness of his faith. The sureness of his faith. It says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Here we find that Noah's faith was grounded upon the Word of God. By faith Noah, being warned of God. In other words, God had spoken to Noah. Noah's faith wasn't based on his feelings. Noah's faith wasn't based on his fancy or his fantasy. But his faith was bound and grounded and rooted upon the naked Word of God. You see, he didn't think about the ark. He didn't decide to make an ark. God told him the Word of God. It wasn't Noah's theory to build an ark. It wasn't positive thinking on behalf of Noah to build an ark to save his family and to condemn the world. No, it was grounded and rooted in the Word of God. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you remember Simon was and his partners were fishing all night? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the boat and the men had from sunset to sunrise had been fishing. They caught nothing. And then the Lord Jesus Christ entered into that boat and the Lord Jesus Christ spake unto the people. And then he said, launch out and let down the nets. Remember what Simon said? He said, Lord, we have fished all night and we have caught nothing. And then he said this, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so we find the authority was the Word of God. Here was a man, an experienced fisherman. He had been fishing all night with the rest of the partners, and still he had failed. He believed that he had been fishing in the right spot, but he caught nothing. And yet here we find it is now sunrise. And as far as he was concerned, it's not the time for the fishing. But he'd got the Word of God to go and let down the net. And he said, nevertheless, at thy word. The authority of the Word of God. You remember Paul was going to Rome? Remember there was a great storm? They thought that all the men's lives upon the boat, the ship was going to be lost. And there we find that Paul was seeking the face of God, and God spoke to him, and then he stood up in the boat. In Acts chapter 27, verse 25, he says, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, God will fulfill his word. And everything, my friend, humanly speaking, was against what he was saying. It just seemed as if hope was gone and everything was lost. And yet he stood up in the boat in faith and he said, but I believe God. And God's word would be fulfilled. A faith that rests upon anything else than the Word of God, my friend, is not truly anchored. But a faith that rests upon the Word of God, thank God, is anchored indeed. What an anchor for the soul, the Word of God. The blood of Christ, it makes me safe. And thank God, the Word of Christ, it makes me sure. Are you resting upon the Word of God tonight? My faith has found a resting place. Thank God tonight we're trusting in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Where do we find about the cross? Where do we find about the shed blood of Jesus? Where do we find God's way of salvation? It's in the Word of God. The sureness of his faith was this. Noah being warned of God. Notice the sphere of his faith. Because it says here, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. In other words, he believed God irrespective of sight. He built an ark. God had said he was going to send a flood. God said he was going to send judgment. Listen, he'd never seen a flood before. In actual fact, there is no evidence that there was rain before. You know that? When you say then, how was the earth watered? If there was no rain. Well, you've got it in the Bible how it was, friend. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, a mist went up and watered the earth. It didn't say the rain came down. It said a mist went up and watered the earth. And so therefore, as far as the natural eye was concerned, there was no such thing as God sending a flood. But here we find the sphere of his faith was this, of things not seen as yet. He wasn't saying, God, you show me a sign and then I'll believe you. Lord, you've got to do something or else I can't really believe you. Listen, it was a cloudless day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky and God says, I'm going to send a flood. He says, Noah, you build an ark. And he believed God, friend. Irrespective of sight, he just believed God. And he waited for God to fulfill his promise 120 years, friend. But irrespective of sight, he believed on. Our brother, the Reverend Graham, will know the story of the great preacher, George Mueller. Man of great faith. Man who fed the orphan children, friend. Never once did he ask man for a gift. He just simply laid the need before God, and God met the need and brought in millions of pounds to feed children. And God used him mightily. And after many years in his ministry, George Mueller said that there were two men that he had prayed for. He prayed, not just fact, friend. I believe he prayed over 60 years. For these two men, for God to save them. In actual fact, he never saw them saved in his lifetime. After he was taken home, God saved them. The two men were his brothers. But he held on to God, friend.
He waited on God, and Noah waited on God 120 years. But his faith was grounded upon the Word of God. God had promised that was enough for Noah.
He didn't rely upon his feelings. He trusted God. Notice the showing of his faith. Because, friend, it says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Because it was a working faith. What does James tell us? James chapter 2. It says, faith without works is dead. He showed his faith by his works. Let me tell you, if a man says he's saved and he hasn't the works, then friend, let me tell you, you just put a big question mark upon it, because if there's not the genuine work of grace in that man's heart, and if there's not the evidence of the workings of God's grace in that life, then that person can have profession, but they're not saved. In James chapter 2, in verse 14, it says these words, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith with thy works, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Because you see, my friend, we're not saved by works, but the salvation that there is in Jesus Christ, it really works. And there's the evidence. And the evidence of his faith was that he prepared an ark. He believed God. And when God told him to build that ark for the saving of his house, he built it. Abel had faith. He showed it by presenting the sacrifice that God divinely appointed. Enoch had faith. He showed that faith and manifested that faith in that he walked with God. Noah had faith and he showed it in that he believed God and prepared the ark. Yes, Noah and his faith. But notice secondly, Noah and his fear. Because the Bible says not only had Noah faith, it says this, by faith being warned of God of things not seen of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. And there you see his shaking. You see, there are those who condemn the gospel preacher who preaches on the subject of hell. There are those that condemn the man who stands in the pulpit and tells about the day of judgment, when the books of God are open, when man will stand before God and give an account of himself. And they say, listen, that's the gospel of fear. You're trying to drive fear into a man. Let me tell you this, my friend. Why does a person look both sides or both ways whenever they're crossing the road? Because they know it's sense, because they fear being knocked down. Man goes to the doctor. The doctor tells him the diet he's on, it'll kill him. And then the man, if he has any sense at all, he listens to what the doctor says and he changes his diet. Why? Because he realizes that if he continues on, he's going to face the danger of death. Let me tell you this, in sinner. There is a greater danger than any of these sins that you're facing. You realize the danger that you're in? Do the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about fear? Let me just quote what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that of no more that they can do. But he says, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. You know, we live in a very arrogant generation. People in Ulster are getting very arrogant. Very self-sufficient. Yes, even people that know the gospel, even people that have read the Word of God, and have got very arrogant of themselves, neither defiant of gospel truth than of gospel preaching. My friend, let me tell you this. We have a generation that's been lulled to sleep. A generation that's been tranquilized unto hell from the pulpits. And they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And men and women are dying in their sin. Yes, hell is a reality. And that's where you'll be, sinner, if you don't repent and turn to Christ. Yes, judgment is a reality, and one day God will arraign you before the bar of God, and you'll stand before Him at His throne, friend. And let me tell you, He'll take the smile and smirk of your face. And you'll find out you're not so big a fella after all. You'll find out that God is the last say. When God takes a breath from your body, for when God says, go, you'll have got to go. I don't care who you are. Yes, there is something to be warned about. The Bible says, listen, Noah built the ark being warned of God. And the gospel preacher that stands before the congregation, like Ezekiel, son of man, warn them from me. God forbid that this pulpit would ever lull a sinner to sleep, standing on the very verge of eternity, on the very verge of hell. Lull them to sleep into thinking that all is well, or there's plenty of time, or they don't need to come now, because there'll always be
a last chance before they drop into the pit.
Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you fear God? Jesus says, I forewarn you. Fear him. That after you have killed the body, friends, listen, has the power. Has the power to cast into hell. I heard of a young man one night after the gospel preaching took the word of God and put his boot to it. Do you think did God see it? There may be those that stood around, friend, let me tell you, and laughed and thought it was a great job. Let me tell you, that was a fool. It was a fool. And I'll tell you a dangerous fool at that too. Take McCray on any day, friend, but listen, don't try to take God on. Don't dare. And Noah, being warned of God, listen, the Bible said he was moved with fear. Are you afraid of God tonight? Listen, I say unto you, says the Lord Jesus, fear him. I stand in an awesome fear of God tonight, not a fear that makes me tremble, but I realize that God is an awesome God, mighty, almighty, but sinner. You fear him. I was thinking, you know, when we were up in the place of prayer, I was thinking about Felix. Felix trembled. But friend, he was down. He trembled and was down. Trembled and was lost. Because he says, when I have a convenience season, listen. In other words, God, stick around. I'll need you someday. I'll need you someday. Friend, I guarantee everyone will need him. But not everyone will find him. Not everyone will find him. Because he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yes, it's shaky. His strategy. Because you see, friend, whenever God spoke to him, whenever God shook him by the message, he says, Noah, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to send judgment. And the Bible says God warned him. And it says that when God warned him, he was moved with fear. But here's his strategy. He prepared an ark. In other words, he made preparation. He made preparation. He knew God wasn't fooling. He knew God wasn't playing a game. When God warned him, God meant it. And he believed God. He didn't wait until it started to rain. He didn't say, I'll wait until the drops come down and then I really know that God means it. The Bible said he prepared an ark. I'll need to get ready. But there's people in this meeting tonight, and let me tell you, you know you need to get ready. But you say, I need to get ready someday. Someday. Sometime. Some other day. Friend, let me tell you, it's too late. Reverend Sinton went down the road in his little MG, the little sports car of his father. And he didn't know he was taking his last drive. The sun was shining when he got into that motor. He pulled into the lane to take off. He did everything that he was legally expected to do. Put on his indicator, slowed down, did everything that was right. And as he was waiting to turn, a person just came behind him, just smashed into the back of him, pushed him into the traffic that was coming the other way. And he went to eternity. Someday I'll be saved, preacher. You know, it's amazing how people have wisdom about things, earthly things, knowing the reality that death could come at any moment. In other words, they make their will. Why do you make your will? Why do you not wait that? Let me ask you a question. Why do you not leave that until you're about to die too, friend? Why do you not fool around with that? It's only wee earthly things. The book says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't say, what shall a man give in exchange for his house? His car! Or his possessions! What shall a man give in exchange for his soul, the most precious possession? Yet men and women fill around with it. You know, in the days of Noah, just turn for a moment to Matthew chapter 24. Not everybody was treating this seriously. In fact, the Lord Jesus uses the story of Noah. In Matthew chapter 24, let me just show you pretty quickly. Go to verse 36. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Speaking about the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. I heard a preacher one time preaching about that. And he said, you know, there were three things there in those days, and I attribute it rightly to this preacher because it's not mine. He said there was indifference because it says this. They were just eating and drinking. They were just going on with life. Listen, friend. Listen to a person's conversation. Listen to the conversations of the crowd. Let me tell you, you're not a thought of God and eternity end. They talk about their holidays. They talk about their pleasures. They talk about this. They talk about that. Eating and drinking. Just carrying on in life, totally indifferent to the reality. Men and women tonight are living just as in the days of Noah, just as they were indifferent, even though God's servant warned them, even though God's servant was faithful to them. Friend, they just carried on eating and drinking as if God had never spoken at all. That's how people are living. They just don't want to know. See the many gospel tracts that are thrown down when you hand them to them. They just do not want. As far as God is concerned, they're totally indifferent. Notice not only indifference, but secondly, immorality. Because it says this, they were marrying and giving marriage. In actual fact, friend, the term there is not for normal marriage. It's sexual immorality. Was there ever a day that sums up this generation of sexual immorality and lust, sin? And then there was ignorance. Because notice what it says. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. You know, people boast about education. They're sitting at their computers, let me tell you this today, and my, there's a smirk on their face and a smile on their face that can call the world. And yet many are as ignorant as the cup because of the things that really count. They don't know.
Oh, they boast about what they know. The Bible says here there was a spiritual ignorance because they knew not until the flood came.
They learned too late. Friend, is that you, spiritually ignorant? Different? But I want you to notice, in the face of all that, Noah prepared not. He stood out. Noah and his faith, Noah and his fear, Noah and his family. Because notice what Hebrews says here in chapter 11. It says this, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Thank God his household was saved. Let me ask you tonight, where are your children? Mom and Dad here tonight in this gathering, be honest before God, where are your children? Are they in the ark of God's refuge? Are they in the ark of salvation? You know, to know that your family's saved is far more than anything else. Far more than anything else. Do you really care? He prepared an ark. He believed God, friend. He knew God was serious. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he brought the family in. Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, where are you leading your children? If your children follow you, where are you leading them to? The world? To hell? I can imagine a young fellow comes to his dad here in this time and he says, Dad, I want to ask you a question. Yes, son. What's wrong? He says, Dad, I was over in Noah's house there today. And he's building an ark. Dad, I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand what he was doing. So I asked him, I said, Mr. Noah, what are you doing? He set down his tools, Dad, and he said, son, God's spoken to me. I have a word from God. And God said he's going to send a flood. And God is sick with the sin of this generation. And God is going to send judgment. And he's going to destroy the world. And God has told me to build this ark. And those that are inside will be saved. And those that are outside will be lost. Says, Daddy, is that true? I think I can hear that dad laugh. See, son, when I was your age, Mr. Noah was building that ark then too. Do you know, son, that it's over 100 years he's been building that ark? And I was curious and I asked him, I said, no, what are you doing? And he said, God's going to send a flood. Listen to me, son. The flood has never come. Son, go out and play and enjoy yourself. Son, have a good time. Because I've said it all before. Let me tell you, friend. When I was a child going to children's meetings, when I was a child sitting in the little pilgrims meetings around the countryside, I heard preachers tell me that Jesus was coming again. And I hear people say, yes, so did I. But he hasn't come. As it was in the days of Noah, friend, there's nothing new. As it was in the days of Noah, yes, just as going on. And people marrying and giving in marriage. And yes, people are living in indifference, eating and drinking. And people are going on in their ignorance, not knowing, thinking that it's all right. But God will keep His word. The Bible says the flood came and took them all away. That father found his son. Then will you? Very quickly, I'm through. It tells me Noah and his fingering, by the which he condemned the world. You see, he condemned the world by warning them. He warned them. Listen, it wasn't that they didn't know in reality, because they were warned, they were told. He preached. The Word of God tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached and he warned, and for 120 years he warned them. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon them. Light has come into this world, here's the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Oh, they have heard with their ear, but they don't want to hear it with their heart. They know what God's Word says, friend, but they don't want to believe it. Why? Because they're not ready. They're not prepared, and they're not willing to have done with their sin. And here's Noah, and as he built this ark, friend, let me tell you, he condemned the world by his faithful action and by his faithful warning. And then Noah and his future, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir, an inheritance. You see, here's people, let me tell you, and they were living for themselves. They were living for their fortune. You know what God did? God gave it all to Noah. Because let me tell you, friend, the people lived for everything as far as the earth was concerned. They lived for the land. They lived for everything. Let me tell you, when Noah stepped out of the ark, God said to him, Noah, your family, here it is. You're the heir. God gave it to him. Let me tell you, friends, we are the heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ when we're saved. The ark's a picture of Jesus Christ. There was one door in the ark, and Jesus says, I am the door. There was one way in, only one, and Jesus says, I am the way. And the Lord said to Noah, Come in. That meant God was already in. In other words, you're coming in to where I am. And God shut the door. And Noah was safe. Let me tell you this, friend. All the storm battered upon the ark. All the storm broke upon the ark. But Noah was safe and Noah was secure inside. Thank God the storm broke upon the ark of my salvation, Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, who died for me and shed His precious blood for me. And glory to God, in Christ tonight I stand safe and I stand secure. You know, some people tell us we can fall out of salvation. Let me tell you, Noah may have fallen in the ark when the old storm and the old waters lashed against it, but praise God, he never fell out of it. Why? Because God shut him in. And I'm shutting in Christ tonight, my ark. And thank God, whosoever believeth or trusteth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Noah, by faith. You trust the Savior tonight? I'm not asking you to trust the church. I'm not asking you to trust the preacher. Listen, trust Christ. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, take of thy word. Thou knowest the need of this congregation. Thou knowest those that are in this gathering tonight that are not saved. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, don't let them go on another night. For Lord, we read in that passage in Genesis, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And the judgment fell and the rain came down. He swept them all away. But Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives, safe in the ark. Men and women, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you before God, earnestly and honestly, are you in the ark? Christ Jesus, are you safe? Are you secure? Are you ready? He prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. Listen, he was wise. He listened to God and he prepared. You know what God says? He says, prepare to meet thy God. Meet him you will, friend. But are you ready? Thank God there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus says, I'm the way. That's Jesus the way. Will you come to him? I go by before God and we're going to sing this little verse, just as I am in the closing moment. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood be shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. If there's one in this gallery tonight, I beg you in God's name, please come. Not saved. Storm of eternity is about to break for him. Called out to meet God. Not ready. What a fool. If there's one tonight, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know my sins are forgiven. Please point me to Christ. Lead to the Lord. And as we sing this verse, you just lift that hand above your head that I can see. And we'll lead you to Christ, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Is there someone here tonight? God has spoken to you. Preacher, lead me to Christ. You just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Listen to the warning of God, friend. Not the warning of a preacher. It's the warning of God. Heed the Lord tonight. Thank God he'll save you. Is there someone right now? You just lift that hand right now, friend, that I'll see it just as I am, waiting not the final verse. Just as. Is there one in the closing moment? Friend, don't wait tonight. Don't wait another second. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Please seek him while he may be found. Not all will speak. Is there one in the closing moment? Just lift that hand. Come on, don't be afraid or ashamed. He's a God ready to pardon, a God ready to save. Is there one tonight? Will you come? I'm not going to sing anymore. But the invitation in God's name is extended. Please tell the Lord tonight. By his grace and by his power, you'll come. Let go of your sin tonight.
loves you. You know, he's a God ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. Isn't that lovely? Holy God, ready to pardon. If you only come.